You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inquinta Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it. Yes, indeed. A very good morning, boys and girls, and welcome. Welcome to Tuesday, the 14th of June. Yep, 2 weeks into June already. Oh, just think, another month or so, we've got Christmas decorations again. Welcome to The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Cool FM with me, Jerry D. Let's take a look at a few things relevant to today's date in the world of entertainment. Of course, that is also including sport. Now, let's see, what do we have? 1927, death of Jerome K. Jerome, author of the comic novel, The Three Men in a Boat. 1936, death of G.K. Chesterton, British novelist, essayist and poet, who published more than 100 volumes. And one from music, 1953, Elvis Presley graduated from L.C. Humes High School in Memphis. And, of course, that is in Tennessee.
Good morning, world.
Hello. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos dias en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Jerry D.
Thank you.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Young, we are free. Remember it well. Supergrass and All Right. That's the second of our two songs bring us in this morning, going back to 1995 when that was released, with Time as a double A-sided single from their debut album, I Should Coco. Shouldn't we all? And then that was preceded by a Swedish band, and that was Europe. And that was back in 1986 when that was released, written by their lead singer, a guy called Joey Tempest. By the way, the lyrics of that song were inspired, believe it or not, by David Bowie's Space Odyssey, and originally made just to be a concert opener. And it was the first single and title track from the band's third studio album. And by the way, there's a very good music video for that one by Nick Morris, made to promote the single, and has become iconic with 1 billion views on YouTube. Go and check it out. Well, this isn't Space Oddity, but it is David Bowie. Golden Years!
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Last night they loved you. Oh,
opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel, come
up the bed. Then walk luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall, act fine.
Was 1975 when Golden Years was released, November of 1975, and I can tell you what, 1975, they were indeed Golden Years. I remember them well. And it was the lead single, and that was off his 10th studio album, Station to Station, partially written before Bowie began shooting for the film The Man Who Fell to Earth, which was 1976. The song was mostly compiled in the studio and was the first track completed for the album. Well, you know what time it is now, don't you? Of course you do. It's 16 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock, so I'm a minute late this morning. Sorry, can't help that very much, really. Good one for you. Got a bit of a remix in the shower for you this morning. Comes from Donna Summer. I love that. I really do enjoy that. That was Ralph Rosario and Eric Ibiza rework. I do enjoy that. Gosh, do some good bopping to that one, couldn't you? Which reminds me, it's time for me to sort of compile my next sort of disco-type mix for parties, things like that. Do a bit of that now and then, you know. Have a party, that is. So there you are, that was In the Shower with you this morning. Donna Summer, Ibiza remix of Hot Stuff. Time on the Breakfast Show. We are just 20 and a half minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock. And I tell you what, I've got a guest joining me on Zoom this morning. Not actually here with me in the studio, so I'll tell you more about that in a little bit.
They must have loved each other once, but that was many years ago. And by the time I came along, things were already going wrong. I felt the pain in their pretend. The side they try hard not to show, but through the simple eyes of youth, it wasn't hard to see the truth. And in the end, nobody wins when love begins to fall apart. And it's the innocence we pay when broken dreams get in the way. The game begins, the game nobody wins. They must have loved each other once before the magic slipped away. And as their life became a lie, what love remained began to die. I used to hide beneath the sheet. I prayed that time would find a way. But with the passing of years, I watched his laughter turn to tears. And in the end, nobody wins. When love begins to fall apart. And it's the innocent who pays. The broken dreams get in the way. The game begins, the game nobody wins. We used to love each other once, with all the passion we possessed. But people change as time goes by. Some feelings grow while others die. But if we learn what we see and face the truth while we still can, then though the passion may be gone, some kind of love can still live on. And in the end, nobody wins when love begins to fall apart. And it's the innocent who pays when broken dreams.
You can't guess what that's called. Yes, nobody wins. Sounds like me doing the lottery. Elton John there, that's from 1981. Here on The Breakfast Show, time is 24 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock.
I'm
to the ocean, and they're in When the Going Gets Tough. Breakfast Show time, 28 minutes, and that's after the hour of 6 o'clock.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usted encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quiera. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Fast and safe. Ship internationally to more than 220 countries and territories with DHL Express. Exporting or importing documents and packages has never been easier with blazing speeds and special promotions. Come visit our retail locations where packaging solutions from half a kilo up to 25 kilos are included at no additional cost. DHL Express. Excellent and simply delivered. Conditions apply.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @AlóricaPanamá.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
And it is time on this morning's program where it is exactly 7:30 the hour of 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Oh, the morning is going so fast. Let's take a look, shall we, some of the local news. We'll be looking at this in more detail later on this morning at 8 and 9 o'clock. Ministry of Health reported that in the last hours, 8 deaths and 1,106 new infections were registered due to COVID-19. Since the pandemic arrived in the country in March of 2020, the health authorities have registered now the death of 8,307 people due to the coronavirus. Lethality percentage is at 0.9%. 5,963 tests were applied, and the 1,106 positive cases reflect a positivity percentage of 18.5%. Regarding active cases, it's specified that there are 21,621 at the national level. Of that number, 21,331 are in home isolation and 290 are hospitalised. Those in isolation, they're divided into 21,299 at home, 32 in those hospital hotels, and those hospitalised, we've got 255 patients in the wards and 35 patients in intensive care. Once the number of infections of COVID-19 begins to decrease, the next issue that must be discussed by the authorities and advisers of the Ministry of Health is the end of the mandatory use of the mask in closed or interior spaces. Now, the Panamanian scientists argue that the elimination of the use of the mask in closed and interior spaces should be optional, that is, at the discretion of each person. And the Minister of Health, Luis Francisco Sucre, indicated that when the fifth wave of infections begins to drop, the elimination of the mandatory use of the mask indoors will be analysed. The lack of leadership led Romelu Rou to invent this process of illegal expulsion of 15 deputies because we have the votes to beat him and recover the party. Now, this was part of the reaction of the deputy of Cambio Democratico, Yanibel Abrego, after knowing the verdict of the Court of Honour and Discipline of said party, which ordered the revocation of mandate and expulsion of 15 deputies described as dissidents. This decision can be appealed by those affected, but if in the end the revocation order is upheld, the 15 dissidents lose their seats and are replaced by their respective alternates. The Panama Savings Fund, the FAP, was created in 2012 through Law 38 of June the 5th with the aim of establishing a long-term savings mechanism for the state and as a stabilization tool for emergencies and economic slowdowns. It was heir to the Trust Fund for Development, and its founding capital as of December 31st of 2012 was $1,234 million. What we're getting at in this piece is that according to estimates by the FAP administration, the account reaches now $725 million that is pending. This is when surpluses generated between the years 2018 and 2021 are added, as stated in the financial statements of the institution and confirmed to a query by Abdiel Santiago, Technical Secretary of the FAP. Now, to date, the FAP has not received said contributions. However, it understands that the authorities of the Ministry of Economy and Finance are aware of the issue and have communicated their interest in complying with what the law outlines, said Santiago. How many members of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, the PRD, have been appointed in the state since Laurentinoni took power in July of 2019? That's the question. Well, this question seemed to have no answer, since in the Ministry of the Presidency, which is headed by Vice President of the Republic and Minister of the Presidency, José Gabriel Carrizo, they claim to be unaware of the number of appointments that the government has made in the state machinery. In the Ministry of the Presidency, there are no statistics on how many people, members of the PRD, have been appointed from July the 1st of 2019 to the present day in public offices. This was one of the answers given by the Vice Minister of the Presidency, Carlos Garcia Molina. Friends and former students of the National Institute are demanding a greater explanation from the education authorities about the disappearance of at least 9,000 books from the library of the campus in November 2019. Guillermo Quintero recalled that a habeas data appeal was filed in the Supreme Court of Justice, which has not yet been admitted, and that the presentation is in charge of Judge Olmedo Arrocha. Quintero specified that the appeal seeks that the Ministry of Education, MEDUCA, forcefully answer what was the destination of this material. That's it. That's some of the things that are in this today's local news, and we'll be looking at those pieces in more detail at 8 and 9 o'clock this morning. 7 o'clock, don't forget, we'll take a look at some of the international news, some of the international business news at 7.30, and in between those two, we'll take a look at the weather. Plenty of great music, of course, going through until 10 this morning.
Oh, man, I eat until the victory.
That's Gary Moore, not on his own there, featuring Philip Lynott on that one, and Out in the Fields. This is a bit of spice, just a bit, just Emma Brunton. Emma Brunton, and what took you so long? Ways that you can keep up with us here on The Breakfast Show. Want to join in? You can WhatsApp us on 677-18822. Yes, 677-18822. It pops up right here on our screens in the studio. You can call us on 223-5162, where Yasmin is waiting to talk to you. English or Espanolish.
223-5162.
And if you're outside of Panama, just add that plus 507 in front of those numbers. TheBreakfastShow.com.pa and, of course, on social media.
Is anybody out there? Come here. Don't touch that dial.
Thank you.
That's Queen, of course, and Crazy Little Thing Called Love. And just looking at some of the tech news for this morning, Elon Musk is going to attend a Twitter All Hands meeting on Thursday. Musk's appearance at the meeting will be his first time fielding questions from staff since he announced his $44 billion takeover of the company. Departing Amazon executive Dave Clark's replacement may be no one. Since announcing his resignation, company insiders have speculated that Amazon could scrap Clark's role and instead have three retail operations chiefs reporting directly to CEO Andy Jassy. Some of the interesting things in the world of technology. This, by the way, is Joyce Sims. Remember this one? All in All. And that's it, there she goes, Joyce Sims and All in All. I tell you what, remember libraries? They could be making a comeback. It says here, WeWorks are dead, libraries could be their replacement. Local libraries could be able to replace what the office and more recently WeWork has traditionally provided. Water cooler conversations, an escape from the house and access to business services. That's a good thing, isn't it? Surrounded by books. Amazon will start making Prime deliveries by drone later this year. The Swiss it says Prime customers in California could soon have their packages dropped off in their backyard by a drone.
I could never see. by the fireplace. Time I don't waste. As I love you slow, then increase the pace. Your natural body perfume brightens up any room. One whiff of my spirit's taking uplift. It feels good when your woman is your best friend. But it's better when you fall in love with her.
With Jerry D.
Ain't enough to say that I think of you. Words can never do the things that I need them to. Tell me when I get more than a dream of you. 'Cause a dream is just a dream. I don't wanna
Jesse Ware and Spotlight. Lovely song, that one, isn't it? And that was preceded by La Bouche and Falling in Love. Breakfast show time. We're just making our way up to the top of the hour, 7 o'clock.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
What's up? Your car won't start, you can't travel and breaks your heart. Valet Motors will fix it or get the parts. Just call 6431-0419 and your car will be fine with Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM. From the heart of Panama City in English.
Yes, indeed. If you just joined us, a very good morning to you. We're just making our way up to 1 minute past 7 o'clock. Joining me, by the way, in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, we're talking with Pituca Ortega Hilbron. She's going to be chatting with us. Got some excellent news for the film industry here in Panama. She'll be talking about that. And also, yesterday, on behalf of the International Film Festival, Panama Foundation and the Mayor's Office of Panama, we're going to have great pleasure to celebrate. I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm going to let Pituca tell you all about that a little bit later on. So that's in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Right now, let's take a look, shall we, some of the things in the international news for this morning. You might want to have a lie down. Ukraine said on Tuesday its forces were still holding out inside Severodonetsk and trying to evacuate civilians after Russia destroyed the last bridge to the devastated eastern city in a potential turning point in one of the war's bloodiest battles. The situation is very difficult, but there is communication with the city despite the last bridge over the Severesky Donets River having been destroyed, said the Ukrainian mayor of Severodonetsk. This is Oleksandr Stryuk. Russian troops are trying to storm the city, but the military is holding firm. And Pope Francis has taken a new series of swipes at Russia for its actions in Ukraine, saying its troops were brutal, cruel and ferocious, and that the invasion violated a country's right to self-determination. In the text of a conversation he had last month with editors of Jesuit media and published on Tuesday, he praised brave Ukrainians for fighting for survival, but also said that the situation was not black and white, and that the war was perhaps in some way provoked. The Taiwan Strait is an international waterway, and Taiwan's government supports US warships transiting it, the foreign ministry said on Tuesday, rebuffing claims from China to exercise sovereignty over the strategic passage. The narrow strait has been a frequent source of military tension since the defeated Republic of China government fled to Taiwan in 1949 after losing a civil war with the communists who established the People's Republic of China. Sri Lanka has approved a 4-day work week for public sector workers to help them cope with a chronic fuel shortage and encourage them to grow food, the government said on Tuesday, as it struggles with its worst financial crisis in decades. The island nation, which employs about 1 million people in its public sector, has been hit by a severe foreign exchange shortage, which has left it struggling to pay for critical imports of fuel, food and medicine. Britain told the European Union on Tuesday that there was no reason for it to take legal action over London's plan to override some post-Brexit trade rules for Northern Ireland, which Brussels has said may breach international law. Britain published a legislation on Monday which would scrap checks and challenge the role played by the EU's court in the region, saying that the changes were needed to improve trade and reduce bureaucracy. A nationwide strike by truck drivers in South Korea has disrupted shipments to China of a key cleaning agent used by makers of semiconductor chips, the Korean International Trade Association said on Tuesday. It was the first sign the eight-day-old strike was affecting chip production's global supply chain. It has already cost South Korea's industry more than $1.2 billion in lost output and unified deliveries, according to the industry ministry. Sweden has important steps to meet Turkey's demands for approving Stockholm's NATO membership application, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said on Monday during a visit to Sweden. Sweden and Finland applied to join the alliance last month in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Their applications have faced unexpected opposition from Turkey, which has been angered by what it deems is Swedish support of Kurdish militants and by a previous decision to withdraw arms export licenses to Turkey. The Canadian government on Tuesday will announce an end to COVID-19 vaccine mandates for domestic travel on planes and trains and on outgoing international travel, CBC News reported on Monday, citing unidentified sources familiar with the matter. Now, the government, which has faced criticism over ongoing pandemic restrictions, may bring back the vaccine mandate if a new variant of the virus is discovered, the report added. And the Wikimedia Foundation, which owns Wikipedia, has filed an appeal against a Moscow court decision demanding that it remove information related to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, arguing that people have a right to know the facts of the war. A Moscow court fined the Wikimedia Foundation 5 million rubles, that's around about $88,000, for refusing to remove what it termed disinformation from Russian-language Wikipedia articles on the war, including the Russian invasion of Ukraine, war crimes during the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and the massacre at Bucha. And lastly, the Penuelas Reservoir in central Chile was until 20 years ago the main source of water for the city of Valparaiso, holding enough water for 38,000 Olympic-size swimming pools. 38,000 Olympic-size swimming pools. Water now, there's only enough for two pools remaining. A huge expanse of dried and cracked earth that was once the lake bed is littered with fish skeletons and desperate animals searching for water. Amid an historic 13-year drought, rainfall levels have slumped in the South American nation that hugs the continent's Pacific coast. Higher air temperatures have meant snow in the Andes, once a key store of meltwater for spring and summer, is not compacting, melts faster or turns straight to vapor. Well, that's not so good, is it? So there we go. Anyway, that's some of the things in the international news for this morning.
Like a lover, and something else to show. best radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here. Right now.
You know, there's so many ways that you can be listening to Cool FM. You can be doing it on your radio on 89.3, of course. Carabao Carbleonda on channel 866. Your Grada radio app on your smartphone. Or you could just be checking us out on your smart speaker. Doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it.
The coolest station online.
Yeah, that's us.
Because we play
this.
Yes, that's Mr. Willie Young. Runaway is that what it's called. If you keep an eye on the time, we're exactly 15 minutes right now after the hour of 7 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show. And, well, if you just joined us, a very good morning to you. Great to have you with us here on the show. So, yeah, what we're going to do at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a look at some of the things in the international business news for this morning. And tell you what, before then, we're going to take a look at what is happening with the weather. And taking us there, why not? Blondie. The tide is high.
I'm gonna be your number one.
we go, Blondie and the Tide Is High. Well, we'll take a look at the tides in just a little bit. For right now, let's start off by looking at the forecast for today, starting over in the province of Colón, Costa Arriba. 28 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature today, with 23 being the minimum. 34 degrees Celsius, the thermal sensation, with relative humidity at 85%. Chance for a few showers during the course of this morning, stormy rains in the afternoon, and isolated rains with thunderstorms tonight. Moving over to West Panama, this side of the isthmus, 28 degrees Celsius will be the maximum temperature today, with 24 degrees being the minimum. 33 degrees Celsius, the thermal sensation, which is not too bad at all. The relative humidity, that's at 83%. A few showers during the course of this morning, this afternoon, stormy rain, and tonight, back to having a few showers. Moving up to us here in the metropolitan area, we're looking at 28 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature, 24 degrees the minimum, 33 degrees the thermal sensation, with 83% relative humidity. So pretty much like West Panama. Few showers in the morning, stormy rains in the afternoon, and a chance of few showers tonight. Out in the Gulf of Panama, out around about the Perlis Islands in that direction, temperature-wise, 27 degrees will be the maximum, with 25 being the minimum, and 34 degrees Celsius, the thermal sensation. Their relative humidity, though, is right up there at 97%. Stormy rains in the morning, stormy rains in the afternoon, and isolated rains with thunderstorms during the course of tonight. So there we go. There's your forecast. Now let's take a look, shall we, at maritime conditions. Now we're going to see if Blondie was right, if the tide is high. Starting on the Pacific, high tide 3.11 this morning. No, she's out a bit there. And that was a 4.85 high tide, 4.85 metres. Low tide will be at 9.27 this morning, 0.27 of a metre. High tide again, 3.26 in the afternoon, 5.21 metres, getting over that 5-metre mark. And the last low tide, that will be at 9.59, just a fraction before 10 o'clock tonight, and that will be minus 0.27 of a metre. The Caribbean. Oh, what can I tell you? Low tide, that will be at 8.14 this morning. That's it. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing at all. Just one low tide. I don't know how it does it. It's really quite interesting, isn't it? Anyway, there are tides for you this morning. So over on the Caribbean, there is no high tide, Blondie, you're done there. Let's take a look at the sea conditions starting off on the Caribbean coast. We do have a small craft advisory for you this morning. Small craft advisory, winds 15 to 20 kilometres an hour coming from the south-southwest with 4-foot waves. That's for this morning. In the afternoon, the small craft advisory is still in place, although winds have dropped down. They dropped down to 10 to 15 kilometres an hour coming from the west-northwest with 4-foot waves. But they say there is a small craft advisory, and if that is what they say, that's what we obey. Oh, say and obey. A bit of a poetry there. Now, good conditions on the Pacific for this morning. 15 to 20 kilometre an hour winds coming from the northwest with 2-foot waves. That's for this morning. In the afternoon, good conditions remaining. We're looking at 10 to 15 kilometre an hour winds coming from the south-southwest in the afternoon. Waves, 1 foot. That's it, just 1 foot. So there we go. There's your weather for this morning and this afternoon. If you are going out on a boat, please do be careful. Make sure that you're wearing a life jacket. If you're on one of the small boats, like a panga. If you're on the bigger boats, please do pay attention to the safety notices that the staff will give you, the crew. And also make sure you know where the life jackets are. Rose.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Absolutely. If you just joined us this morning, a very good morning to you. The time is up past the hour of 7 o'clock. Now, that, by the way, the last track, Elton John there together with Taron Egerton. And I'm going to love me again. And why not? World shares, they inched higher and Wall Street was tipped for a stronger opening on Tuesday as US Treasury yields steadied at multi-year highs following the worst sell-off in years. Monday's sell-off confirmed a so-called bear market for the US S&P 500 equity index, which is down more than 20% from its most recent closing high. On fears of central banks that may have to up the pace of policy tightening to curb soaring inflation. Those expectations took US 10-year borrowing costs, the benchmark interest rate for the global economy, as high as 3.44% on Monday, a 2011 peak. While yields slipped on Tuesday to around 3.3%, they remain 180 basis points higher than at the end of 2021, with the Federal Reserve due to start a two-day meeting later on Tuesday. Markets waiting to see if it raises rates by 75 basis points instead of the 50 basis points that was originally anticipated. The S&P 500 confirmed on Monday that it has been in a bear market since January. Many of the benchmark's components are in far worse shape following months of fear-driven selling related to rising interest rates and worries about the economy. The S&P 500 SPX 3.9% drop on Monday was fueled by worries that more aggressive interest rate hikes by the Federal Reserve could push the economy into a recession. The S&P 500 has now tumbled around about 22% since its January the 3rd record high close, confirming it has been in a bear market since hitting that high. Oil prices rose on Tuesday as tight global supply outweighed worries that fuel demand would be hit by a possible recession and fresh COVID-19 curbs in China. Brent crude futures rose 94 cents or 0.9% to $123.21 a barrel. That was at 10:29 GMT. While U.S. West Texas Intermediate WTI crude rose 79 cents or 0.7% to $121.72 a barrel. Tight supply has been aggravated by a drop in exports from Libya aimed at a political crisis that has hit output and the ports. World oil demand growth will apparently slow in 2023, OPEC delegates and industry sources said, as surging crude and fuel prices help drive up inflation and act as a drag on the global economy. Fuel use has rebounded from the 2020 pandemic-induced slump and is set to exceed 2019 levels this year, even as prices hit record highs. But high prices have eaten into growth projections for 2022 and fed into expectations for slower growth in 2023. Bitcoin neared a price level on Tuesday that could force software firm MicroStrategy Inc. to stake more tokens against a Bitcoin-backed loan or trigger selling of some of its vast holdings, setting fragile cryptocurrency markets on edge. MicroStrategy, an aggressive investor in Bitcoin, said it borrowed $205 million from crypto bank Silvergate Capital in March, with the three-year loan mostly secured against some 19,466 bitcoins. The United States dollar consolidated gains near a 20-year peak on Tuesday, while its rival from the Aussie to the euro nursed steep losses as traders brace for aggressive interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve this week. And China's securities regulator on Tuesday denied that it and its securities association had asked foreign investment banks for senior executives' pay details or suggested they implement pay curbs, rejecting media reports. Bloomberg reported on Friday that Chinese regulators had warned top global banks during meetings in Shanghai and Beijing this year against paying their top bankers in China lavishly. And lastly, Germany's cartel office is looking into Apple's rules on tracking for third-party apps to see whether they give the US tech giant preferential treatment or hinder other companies, it said on Tuesday. We welcome data-friendly business models that give users choices about how their data is used, said cartel office president Andreas Mundt. However, a company like Apple, which can unilaterally set the rules in its ecosystem and especially in the App Store, could make them in line or should make them in line with competition. And there we go. That's it. That's some of the international business news for you on this, Tuesday. It's Tuesday. We're already 2 weeks, by the way, into the month of June. By the way, if you haven't yet, why don't you visit Frank's Place? This is a new Italian-American concept. It's located in Plaza downtown in Costa del Este, with delicious pastas Brick oven pizzas, gluten-free and vegetarian options, and also, by the way, they're pet-friendly. So follow them on Instagram at Frank's Place Panama, all right? Frank's Place Panama, that's there in Costa Leste. Pet-friendly. Oh, that's good. Take La La the Parrot, can we? Why not? New Kids on the Block, NKOTB. Bring back the time.
Storm coming. comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand. Wrap you in his arms, tell you that you've been a good boy. He'll rekindle all the dreams that took you a lifetime to destroy. He'll reach deep into the hole, heal your shrinking soul, but there won't be a single thing that you can do. He's a god, he's a man, he's a ghost, he's a guru. They're whispering his name through this disappearing land, but hidden in his coat is a red right hand. You don't owe no money, get you some. You don't have no car, get you one. Self-respect, you feel like an insect. Well, don't you worry, buddy, 'cause here he comes through the ghettos and the barrio and the barry and the slum. His shadow is cast wherever he stands. Stacks of green paper in his red right hand.
Go. That is Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds there. And Red Right Hand is what it's called, which you might recognize it as the theme tune to Peaky Blinders. There we go. It's one of those things when I sort of sit there with my Shazam. I got quite into Peaky Blinders, actually. Really quite good. Let's say a very good morning. Good morning to Renee and Rick. And she says, but don't take it just from me, you see. She said, we went to Frank's on Saturday night. Had the chicken Sultan Bocca. She said, divine. So there we go. Asked if we could play something for you this morning. It comes from Aerosmith, and it's Dream On.
No.
You remember, it's Jerry D and the Breakfast Show.
We were lost in this
There we go, two in a row. We started off with the Carpenters and this Masquerade, and following on there, Lionel Richie and All Night Long. If you are keeping eye on the time, we're just, well, we're starting to make our way to the top of the hour.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Encuentro 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Fast and safe. Ship internationally to more than 220 countries and territories with DHL Express. Exporting or importing documents and packages has never been easier with blazing speeds and special promotions. Come visit our retail locations where packaging solutions from half a kilo up to 25 kilos are included at no additional cost. DHL Express. Excellent and simply delivered. Conditions apply.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alórica. Panamá.
How you doing? Can you hear this? You hear that? That's the sound of glorious gold percolating in my coffee pot. Yummy. Well, we have a morning that's very nice. It's not quite too sunny yet, but it is warmer than yesterday, which was a bit chilly. Woo! And I was able to get Mr. Fabio come and fix the roof. And then he said, if it leaks, you call me. Well, guess what? I called him. Yeah, it's a leaking. But he did a good job. It's nice, but it still has some leaks that has to take care of. And he's a good guy. He'll come back to fix it. My leaky house. That's not bad. But the temperature, so as he had fixed the roof, I decided, well, the only way I'm going to use this patio again is I'm going to power wash it. There is nothing more satisfying than power tools. Oh, yes, there isn't. Oh, you get them power tools and you start power washing that. And next thing you know, I'm power washing the sidewalk. I'm power washing the cat box. I'm power washing everything that I can get my little hands close to with my little machine. Oh, I do love me some power washing. You can't do that in the city as much. Where are you going to power wash? In your apartment? I don't think so. If you have a garage, they might let you use the water. I don't know. No, they didn't let me do it in my apartment, but power washing in the finca. So after I power washed everything, then it rained like a son of a gun. Most of the night, just whoosh, whoosh, lots and lots and lots of rain. So anyways, at least my apartment, well, my house, the sidewalk. Hey, you know, if you don't wash that sidewalk off, you know, that green algae stuff grows. And then when you go to walk on it, and if it's wet, it's very, very, very swippily. And we don't like swippily. No, we don't. So there it is, all nice and clean. Now we're just waiting for Mr. Fabio to show up and fix the roof with his leaky leaks. All right. Well, since the weather is warmer today, I'm hoping I can get out a little more. But, boy, I'll tell you, that power tools, ooh, I can't go eat. Power tools, coffee pot, everything that's electric is just making me so happy. All right. Well, you guys be safe out there. Hey, I had a friend whose husband passed away, and I'm sending her all my love and her husband. May he rest his soul. It's, you know, it's a terrible thing that happens to our families, but we love you and we hope you get through this and we're there if you need us. Take care of yourselves and know that we love you, and back to you in the studio.
Drip, drip, drippity drop. Drip, drip, drippity drop.
There we go. There's one for Ingrid this morning. It's amazing, you know, I can find a piece of music for anything, really. Hope you. Roof stops leaking, anyway. Time on the breakfast show, 21 and a half minutes. That's after the hour of 8 o'clock. We're on 89.3 Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. Time to introduce my guest for this morning. We've got Pituca Ortega Hilbrom with us this morning. Again, good morning to you.
Good morning. So good to see you.
Likewise. That's it, you see. I just keep seeing you. I don't know, touchy-feely. Where are you?
I'm here. I'm home.
Oh, yeah.
Just got back.
Oh, really, yeah?
Finally home. I've been traveling quite a bit. I've been out quite a bit.
So busy. A lot of success?
Yeah. Well, yes. Success for the country, actually.
Yeah.
For me, of course, but for the country, which is the most important.
Yeah, I was seeing your notes. So tell us all about it.
I don't know where to begin.
Beginning?
Know, usually, when you leave me like all this opportunity, I could go, you know, to Venus with stories.
Well, you've got plenty of time, so.
Yeah, thank you. On 2014, the French director Claire Denis visited Panama. She came to the festival. We had a retrospective on her work. And she was really enchanted with the festival. That woman has been in all the most important festivals in the world. She's highly, highly recognized, revered by all the directors. She's a director's director.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call her and how they refer to her. And so... you know, she was here with us most of the week, if not the full week. And when she left, she always said that she'd come back, and we continued to exchange emails sporadically. And then in 2019, she wrote to me. I was in the, like, 2 weeks before the festival. I was like this, and I get an email from her. And she said, I'm scouting Central America to do a film with American actors. And, of course, I would like to do it in Panama.
And, oh, okay.
And then, but then, you know, she's the director, not the producers, you know, or the, you know. So she asked me if I was going to be in Cannes. I was. We met. I met the producer of the film. And, you know, I said, well, what do we have to do for you to come to Panama? And then, you know, she said, well, let's plan a scouting trip. And then they came, and then the pandemic happened. But when she came, Colombia was courting her. Costa Rica was courting her. And so, and the producers... the story takes place in Nicaragua. They scouted Nicaragua as well. But just the politics and the whole security issues, and, you know, with American actors, you have to be really careful. You know, they run by SAG rules, Screen Actors Guild, and it's very strict with them, and the guild really takes very good care of them. And so, so we really, had to do a bit of lobbying down this end, and she really wanted to do it here, so we did, they bet on our team, on the Panamanian crew. She met them all. She met the heads of the department, and she liked all of them, and she bet on Panama. And she had a good feeling about us, about this country, about it, what it could bring to her film. It was a very difficult shoot, very, very difficult, because, you know, she had to figure out how to make it look like Nicaragua or abstractly Nicaragua.
Right.
So, you know, we don't look like Nicaragua, especially Panama, this Panama City. And so, but we managed, and she's a genius. She's really a master of cinema. And the last thing we expected, just getting invited to Cannes to the official selection.
Be tough, you know, going to Cannes. And,
You have no idea.
She's
been there. She's been there. but not the last time she was in the out, you know, to win either the Palme d'Or or the Grand Prix.
Right.
Was 30 years ago. 30 years ago.
Wow.
You know, she's been in other categories in the festival, which are huge.
Mm-hmm.
En certain regard, director's fourth night. I mean, the great directors have been in all these spaces the festival has to offer, but the Palme d'Or, to be in that, it's really very, very hard. And I mean, the competition was, I mean, it was the top directors of the world were there. And so just getting there was big, enormous for us, for the country, because the thing with Cannes is that it's not an audience festival. That's where, you know, for example, Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise were there launching Elvis and Top Gun. And that's where all the directors, all the producers, all the distributors, everybody in the industry is there, and they're watching, and the critics and festival programmers and everything, they're watching these films. So her films are seen, those films are seen by directors that are going to pay attention to this film that was there, that was completely different from everything else in the festival. And then it won the Grand Prix, which is much more, and there's more interest, and it can, you know, when people can see, when these directors can see that a film can be made in Panama from beginning to end, that just changes the whole perspective for us. It's just for our industry, you know, because we've had huge productions come, but they don't necessarily shoot the entire film here.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, that probably they're sitting there saying, oh, that's great, and they all go off to Nicaragua. Yeah.
No, Nicaragua is not, the industry, I mean, it could happen, sure, as it could have happened that they could have gone to Colombia.
Sure, sure.
Or they could have gone to Costa Rica. Sure. But they didn't. They came here, and the story takes place. It's just how we manage and how we, as an industry, present ourselves, and I think we do a very good job at it because we've had important productions.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, one of the things that Nicaragua and Colombia doesn't have is you.
Oh no, well, no, I'm not the only one.
No, come on, let's face it. You've done so much for the film business here in Panama with the IFF and. I mean, all these things, they sort of, you know, it's all pieces of a jigsaw that fit together, and that's it. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes we sort of sit back and we look at the country and we think that, well, it's not been very well managed. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, I'm always on about, well, you want to have tourism, but then you leave the streets in a mess. So, you know, you're obviously doing something right. Do you want to do the streets as well?
Well, it would work to our advantage if the streets were good, and there was no trash. That's about the most, one of the most embarrassing things. That as someone who's always receiving guests in this country, and people that notice, they just cannot understand our problem with trash.
There's something missing with pride. You know, we have to have pride. You know.
This is why these things are important for Panamanians to know, that their country is being seen. You know, she avoided, this is really interesting because she avoided any shot of trash in the country. She said, I am not going to show, you know, like the ugliness or there's something, I mean, it's not that everything is San Blas, you know, it's not like that. It's a harsh, tough film. You know, it's a purpose, and the festival was the ambassador of this film. And I'm gonna just shut down my my little bing.
Oh, that's all right. Just turn the computer around, and I can read them. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's interesting.
I'll share the screen. I have no secrets.
It's interesting what you say, because I've seen movies in the past where, you know, they they go off to Panama, because if they come to Panama, you can guarantee, this is, I'm talking about actually in the movie, you can guarantee if they come to Panama, it's because they've come to see something to do with money laundering and whatever. And they always seem to show the downtrodden parts of Panama and not the good side of Panama. They seem to make it, try to go out of their way to make us look like a banana republic. And we're not, most of the time. This is why it's important, and I think that's a great thing that she went out of her way to show it in a positive light.
Yeah, and also she, I mean, we shot in the worst months of the year to shoot a film on location, which were October and November, and it rained, and you know, I warned them about all that, and she managed to use that to the advantage, and it gives the film such a texture, because you know that's not fake rain. Mm-hmm. And this is a woman who shot everywhere. I mean, she shot in Africa, now she shot here. She shot everywhere in the world, and she's used to managing difficult environments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really honored and impressed and by the Panamanian crew that worked on this film. I think what they gave, she said a quote in Cannes, by the way, she didn't stop talking about Panama and Cannes. I mean.
Oh, really? Yeah.
In all the interviews about the actors, the press asked about the Panamanian actors in admiration for the casting by Panama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she brought Panamanian actors to the same level as the main actor. She had Nick Romano, who has a very important role in the film, who's Panamanian. He was there in that red carpet.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
You know, and that's huge for, not only for him, but for all the local, all the local actors. I think she said something, and this all came from her experience with the Panamanian crew. She said, if there's no love, there's no film. Especially in a film that was so demanding. It was demanding on her, on the crew, on the actors, and here we are. So it's unbelievable.
Absolutely. I mean, but you know, casting is very important. I remember when you did Historias de Canal. I mean, you cast this guy as a DJ in New York, and that was brilliant casting. And you know, that was like they say your 15 minutes of fame. Hey, my 15 seconds of fame did pretty well too, you know.
Yes.
And I tell you what, that's the best paid 15 seconds of my life.
Glad to hear that. Yes. Listen out, everybody. Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, how many Panamanian actors did we have in the movie?
Oh, we had several. We had with lines and you know, close-ups. I would say, like, I mean, it's and scenes and full scenes. We had Nick Romano, Stefan Proaño. We had Monica, I can't remember her last name because she plucked her out of a jewelry store.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. And the woman was just, she was amazing.
Yeah.
We had Jaime Newbold, who's an actor who's also had a very important, and then you had all the others. You had El Coyote, I mean, maybe 10.
Right, because out of this movie, will opportunities come to them, you think, in the future?
Well, if they pursue it, if they pursue the career, or if they put themselves out there, absolutely. I think someone like Nick Romano, definitely. I think, others may have done it just to work with her because she's also, actors love working with this woman.
Right.
Because she's really, really, she really connects with them. And so, yeah, I think, I mean, if you have this film in your curriculum,
Sure. Oh, know? No, absolutely. And were you actually physically, were you involved in the making of the movie? What part did you play in that?
We were what you would call production services. I have a production company. And understanding Claire's cinema and knowing how demanding she is, this company, my partner is my daughter, who is a filmmaker as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and she wanted to work with us. One of the reasons why she decided to come was because she felt that we would be able to meet the challenge of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we didn't have the locations she really wanted. I mean, she wanted volcanoes. We didn't have volcanoes. I mean, and things like that. So, yes, we were what you call production services. What does that do? That just gets everything for the film. Locations,
right. Okay.
Actors, accommodations, transportation, everything. We set up the entire production.
All the logistics and...
everything,
yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
All of that, and then more. And then she was... when she wrote to me at 2 a.m. to let me know that we had gotten into official competition in Cannes, 2 hours later they were calling us to see who, under what name we wanted to be as associate producers. That's huge, because as production services, you're in the back. You're
right,
at the end
right.
of the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, but a lot of people in the industry stay to see that. But in the cinema, everybody starts getting up when the credits start rolling down.
Oh, but now they've got wise to that, because they put little bits of the movie in the credits, so you have to hang around.
Some do that, but Claire won't do that. And so as associate producers, which is something that they didn't have to do, she wanted us in there, and she wanted us in opening credits.
Oh, wonderful.
So she really gave a lot to all of us, to everybody. And we all gave a lot to the film and to her.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was time to reciprocate, she did that. And then some.
Oh, wonderful. I mean, it's funny you mentioning about, the credits. In the old days, when I was a kid and we used to go to the movies, they were very clever, because at the end of the movie, they would play the national anthem. And, of course, nobody was allowed to leave until the national anthem was played,
Of course. That's a great... Oh, my God, the things that people come up with just to... keep us in our seat, on our seats.
So the thing is, I mean, I was involved when I had one of my own trading companies in London. It's Brook Oil, and it was in Brook Street in London. And I was sharing the office with a guy called Mahmoud Sipra. And he was into traveling, and he actually bought a movie that was being made. I can't remember the name of it now, but I know it starred Susan George, and I think it might have been Christopher Lee might have been in that one, but he was in another movie, and they were coming in. But one of the things, I tell you what, I must admit, because we shared the space downstairs with the production company.
Oh, wow.
And it was very much jobs for the boys, It was, it's like the credits, the credits that are so long, because you've got, here we have the guy who went and got the tea from the supermarket, and then the guy who brewed it, and then we got the guy who took it on a plate and gave it to the other guy. I mean, there are so many people in the credits, aren't there?
No, they are, and I have to tell you, every single... I've never been involved in a film of this caliber, because at times it was chaotic, and with all the time that I've been doing this, and it was new for all of us, it was a 6-month pre-production period. We were looking for locations for a long time. She traveled the entire country. I mean, from Chiriquí to Darien, I mean? So it was, and I have to tell you, that due to the fact that it was all on location, I mean, all of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He did not want to do anything in a studio,
wow.
Nothing.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Every single person in that crew, all the production assistants, everybody was so crucial,
mm-hmm.
was so absolutely crucial. And you see that whenever you're making a production. And everyone really deserves to be, first of all, on the credits,
mm-hmm.
and deserves to for people to sit there and see everybody's name.
Mm-hmm.
Because the drivers, the catering,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the people that are in the set, making sure you're hydrated, making sure you have a snack when you need to
mm-hmm.
have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an industry like no other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really is like no other, and the relationships between the crew, the connections. The camaraderie, and this all happened in this film, and I think all that comes out
mm-hmm.
in the
mm-hmm.
final
mm-hmm.
in the final piece, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's but then of course it's all how Claire puts it together.
And tell me, Patuka, have you and your company seen any reaction since the movie with regards to inquiries?
It's quite interesting because in Cannes, critics are brutal. I mm-hmm. mean, even the mm-hmm. films that win the Palme d'Or and that end up winning Oscars
mm-hmm.
get pummeled in Cannes. With Claire, she had a higher percentage of positive reviews
mm-hmm.
than negative reviews. It's a film like no other she's made because it's most of the actors are Americans, and then obviously, and the rest of the actors are Panamanian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No French actors, she's always worked with French actors.
Mm-hmm.
And her films have this quality, and this is why directors adore her, is that with the passage of time, they're like a good wine. They get better and better and more relevant and more, they are never, outdated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they are never outdated. And so I think it was mostly positive, but sure, there were some bad reviews, but then
mm-hmm.
all
mm-hmm.
the films get awful reviews. I mean, Cronenberg's film got awful reviews, and it was competing also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of them. And then the ones that get blown reviews don't win. The thing is that the jurors, unlike the Oscars, which, of course, the Oscars are incredible, and to get one is huge. But there's a lot of campaigning and lobbying and marketing, and before you, this is a festival. The Oscars is another type of
mm-hmm.
recognition. But you have more time to push your film. Here, the jurors are filmmakers, are directors, actors.
Mm-hmm.
I think directors and actors. I don't think there was a producer in that jury. And so, you know, these are true blue artists. They don't read. They're not allowed to read reviews.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to. It's like they're sequestered, and so many times the films that have the most glowing reviews are the ones that don't win. I mean, sometimes those things do connect. So and the reaction with Margaret Qualley's performance is just. I mean, she is the film.
Mm-hmm.
The film centers around her. And she's the main character of the film. And she's just electrifying in the film.
Mm-hmm.
This young American actress who was in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay. Now tell me, I mean, because you're in the industry and, you know, I'm on the other side. With all these different awards... You've got Cannes, you've got the Palme d'Or, you've got the Oscars, you've got this, you've got that. Are they all industry? I mean, is there one which is judged by the people as opposed to being judged by the industry?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's a People's Choice Award in festivals, not in Cannes. In Cannes, there's not an audience award, because that's not an audience festival.
But they're all judged by the industry, aren't they? And they're all I tell you why, because, you know, it's one thing being, you know, a critic can make or destroy a movie, but it's just a personal opinion. And I've seen so many where, you know, these people have actually destroyed something which is quite good according to the public.
Yeah.
And this was say, there seems to be sometimes you feel there's a disconnect with what we like and what they like.
Yeah. You are, and that's the big, that's a big short circuit with this industry. The thing is that at the end of the day, audiences have the power. You know what I mean? I mean, they will choose. I'm not sure. I think film critics are less and less important.
Mm.
That's one thing we had film critics come to the festival and talk about this. And there's several ways of looking at it. I think film critics are important as long as they are, how would I say? I think sometimes they get too personal in the way they go about a film. But I do think it's important because there's a lot of mediocrity. In the film industry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much money. Making a film is so hard and it costs so much money.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That something has to be reined in, you know,
mm-hmm.
and audiences, the better the film, the better you become as an audience. So I don't disagree with film critics.
Do you think though that the world we're living in now with social media and blogs and blah, blah, are these critics losing any of their power to the
absolutely
absolutely
except in a place like Cannes,
right?
Because that's like their place. That's where they go, and they're all there, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And since that's the kickoff of the year,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes films don't go to Cannes precisely to avoid that. You know?
Yeah, I can imagine.
You're correct. They talk about that. Critics speak about that they're a dying breed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just wondering when they'll stop making superhero movies and. Because I find now that there's not, I mean, funnily enough, the wife and I sat down at the weekend, we watched any, and we decided to go and watch them because we like watching movies that are in different places. We watched two, in actual fact, that came out of Italy. One was called Tuscany, and it was about a chef who inherited a restaurant. It's a little love story, uh-huh. But in there. And the other one was All Roads Lead to Rome. Which I enjoyed because there was an old lady in it who played a great part. And I remember when she was a young lady, and that was Claudia Cardinale.
Oh, my goodness. Wow,
And these were just really nice, pleasant movies and worth watching. But they never get to the cinema, do they? They sort of peter out.
Yeah.
Unless it has to be a blockbuster now or it doesn't work. And I just feel that the industry in that respect is degrading. It's going away from what movies are supposed to be about.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And it's a shame that, you know, we understand that cinemas have to make money, but be a little bit balanced, that give room to these other films and let audiences make a decision and take a leap. There's just something about, there's a fascination with this world of Marvel and the superheroes and the whole, and that's fine. I will not knock that down. I think it's incredible for the industry. They generate a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They accelerate technologies. I mean, there's a lot of things that these films contribute to the film industry. But, you know, if you're making a lot of money with a film, then, and you're not going to make so much money with the other one, or you may break even, or you may lose a little money with this film, do it. You know what I mean? Take that, do that for your audiences. Give them more. Because if they're seeing other things, they may demand more from the superhero movies. They may want better plot lines. Maybe they will want those stupid jokes that they put in the middle right at the second they're all going to die out of the script, you know? It's like, the easy way is just the way it's done right now.
Now, listen, because tell me about this signing yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the first signing of for the festival of this year, of December, which is going to be from December 2nd to the 4th. It's the first time we sign an agreement with a government entity since 2019. And it was really incredible to be there with the mayor and press and signing this agreement they're the first ones to get on board to support the festival, to officially get on board to support the festival for 2022. It's been tough times for the foundation and the festival, as you know, very, very, very tough. Unfortunately, I think with all the news of this award and all these things happening, the Ministry of Commerce and Industry have signing agreements with Paramount in LA and they understand really the value of a venue like the festival, an event like the festival. So we're hoping that more join in, and it will not be the same as we've had before. It will be a festival with 10 to 12 exquisite films during a weekend. We are, finishing the deals with the venues, and it will be a festival for the audiences mostly. We will have some guests, but there's just so much we can do economically, financially, but we will make sure that we do give the Panamanian audience or whoever is in town the best of the best of cinema, because if we only have 10 or 12 films to choose, we will choose them very carefully.
Yeah, but you've always been very good at choosing the movies that we show here.
Yeah, we have. But when you have to choose 10 or 12, it really becomes difficult because there's so many, versus if you have 65 to 75, you know, you can have a wider range, but these ones have to all be like boom, So, you know, there's always blockbusters in a festival, and there's always the ones that 50, 60, 70 people go to see. And then there's the one that 400 people go to see. This one, we have to make sure that we really hit it out of the ballpark with all the films. And that's our intent.
Okay. And now how long will it be then with all this new interest in Panama? I was just going to go and say, but with all this new interest in Panama, with the movies and making movies, how long before we actually build our own studio?
Because that would be
another attraction, because not only do you have the location, but you have the studio as well.
Oh.
Go to it, girl.
Great minds think alike. We're working on it, hopefully, at least finding out if there's viability for it. But I absolutely agree. And the producer said that if we had a really good studio, soundproof, that would make a big difference. Panama is great and Panamanians are great and we're amazing hosts and we work our butts off. One of the biggest platforms for presenting ourselves to the world is our film industry. And everybody in this country understands that.
Well, all I can say is, Patuga, thank you very much for all you're doing for us, for the industry as well. And I haven't seen you in a cape once, So that's a good...
No, and you never will. Maybe in another life.
And and thank you. It's always lovely talking to you. We could talk for hours. Which reminds me, now you're in town. Don't forget, we're still due that lunch from about 2 years ago.
Yes, we do. I have a write to you and tell you where we should go the next time.
All right, look forward.
And thank you so much, Jerry, and thank you for this time, for the ability, for the permission to speak and expand. I love you a lot. Thank you.
Oh, likewise. You take care, Patuka, and see you soon. All right?
See you soon.
Don't forget.
No. Bye.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby, let's go in the balcony. Technicolor and CinemaScope, a guest out of Hollywood, and the popcorn from the candy stand makes it all seem twice as good. There's always lots of pretty girls with figures they don't try to hide, but they never can compare to the girl sitting by my side. Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby, let's roll in the balcony.
There we go, yes, Saturday night at the movies. And that's brought us up towards the top of the hour. Big thanks once again to Patuga Ortega Hebron for being with us this morning on the British Show. Great work she's been doing, putting us on the map. It's, you know, doing it for some years now, and it's doing great. It's all working out. Right, it's time to, if you missed the news today, I got it for you in just a few seconds.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Encuentro 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Fast and safe. Ship internationally to more than 220 countries and territories with DHL Express. Exporting or importing documents and packages has never been easier with blazing speeds and special promotions. Come visit our retail locations where packaging solutions from half a kilo up to 25 kilos are included at no additional cost. DHL Express. Excellent and simply delivered. Conditions apply.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alóricapanamá.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
I suppose I could collect my books and get on back to school. the best place to be in the mornings.
That's one of those two, Rod Stewart, of course, and Maggie May. And following on there, that's a lady, her name is Sheridan Smith, and it's her version of Superstar. And it's one of those songs which is sort of, you know, very close to my heart, but that's a nice cover. You know, it's fairly similar, but it's got a nice bit of orchestration in there as well. And by the way, we're going to check in with Yasmin in a few minutes. I'm going to do one more piece of music, and then we'll check in. I know Yasmin's got a couple of Born on This Day in music for us. I've also got a couple of requests to get through as well. But let's go back to the year 1965. It was on this day, yeah, the 14th of June, 1965. Paul McCartney and the Beatles, well, they recorded this.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over. Oh, yesterday came suddenly.
Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
There we go, recorded on the 14th of June back in 1965. A classic from the Beatles there, Yesterday. Morning, Yasmin.
Good morning.
How are we this morning?
Very good. And you?
I'm fine. Just remind me today, please, when I have to stop the program.
Okay, I will.
Yesterday we got a call from Cool FM. What's he doing? What's he doing? Is it 10 o'clock? I honestly believed it was still 9 o'clock. It's a long day yesterday, I tell you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Isaac, if you're listening, good morning. Sorry about that. So, how was your day yesterday?
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm home.
But today you got a fun day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go and have lunch with Anita, then you're going to go and buy a new car.
Not really, but meeting a new people,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we'll test drive for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, yes, you got a busy little day.
Mm-hmm.
I got a busy little day going to a nice event tonight.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good. For Her Majesty.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What is it today? No, it's not the tea.
No, today is they're having a Jubilee get-together. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's going to be rather nice.
Okay, yeah, because the tea party is during the day, right?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, let me just remind everybody, because let me get it up on my screen here, because this is important. Because the ambassador was talking to us about this yesterday. This was the street party.
Mm-hmm.
The Platinum Jubilee Street Party. That's going to be on Saturday. And that is going to be at Multi Plaza. Mm-hmm. If you know down by the Stevens End, they've got that big space down there. That's where it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you better go along and enjoy an English street party. They're good fun.
Yeah.
All sorts of surprises lined up. I should be there.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I shall be there. Not my glory.
I'll be there too.
Goody, goody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can bring Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Or yes, I tend to bring saxophone. Because he can do busking, you see. He mm-hmm. can put a little hat on the floor and he can play his saxophone with people can throw money at it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
You see? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how you get started, you know.
But he needs to wear a mask or something like that.
He's all right.
Too shy.
You know.
Yeah.
Good looking lad, he's all right. Get extra money. So, yeah, that's starting at 1 o'clock on the Saturday. Goes on till 5. So it's a street party. It's going to be fun. Oh, oh.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so if you've got a Union Jack, bring it with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been taking a rummage around for a couple of Born on This Day music.
Exactly. The mm-hmm. first one, Junior Walker. He was born in 1931. American soul singer and multi-instrumentalist. He had the 1966 US and UK top 20 single, How Sweet It Is, and the 1969 US number 4 single, What Does It Take to Win Your Love. Walker also played sax on Foreigners in 1981 hit Argent.
There you go, you see. He played the saxophone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
See, I like him.
And he makes money.
Yes.
Okay, Junior Walker says, How Sweet It Is
mm-hmm.
to Be Loved By You. You go hear that, Yasmin? A saxophone.
Very nice.
Mm. You remember that song, don't you?
No.
No, we played it on here before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Don't you remember which day?
Of course not.
Me neither. Actually, funny enough, though, my program, I used to store all my music. That tells me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It tells me, yeah. But it's got a, what they call it, it's got a little column, it says timestamp. And it makes a note of the last time you played it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I look that up now, see the last time I played it, it'll tell me today.
Ah, okay. That's not good.
So who's your other one for today?
Okay, the second one is Rod Argent. He was born in 1945. English musician, singer, songwriter, composer, and record producer, who was a member of the Zombies, who had the 1964 UK number 12 single, She's Not There, and went on to form the band Argent, who had the 1972 UK number 5 single, Hold Your Head Up.
Yeah, I can't remember the group Argent, it doesn't ring a bell, but Zombies I remember.
Okay.
Of course, that was in the days before Zombies became popular.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do two in a row, from the Zombies, starting with this one.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry, how would I know, why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her, she's not there. The color of her hair, her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. Well, no one told me about her, what could I do? Well, no one told me about her, the day I knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry, how would I know, why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her, she's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she acted, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there.
To show you what you need to live.
There we go, just as I said, two in a row from the Zombies. It started off with She's Not There, and following on there, Time of the Season. You remember both of those, mm-hmm, don't you? Yeah. I'm impressed.
Yeah, nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not like you. Okay, well, look, you both have a wonderful day.
Thank you, and you too.
I'm going to try and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back together tomorrow, won't we?
Oh, yes.
All being well. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes, take care, man.
You too,
have a great day.
You so, too, thank you.
Time on the Breakfast Show, if you're keeping in time, we're exactly 19 and a half minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock. As I mentioned, I've got a couple of requests to get through, and we're going to start with Cedric. He was the first one who came in, so just wishes us a very good morning, and asked if we could play a particular piece of music for him, which is this one. It's Imagine, from John Lennon.
Below us,
We've had two really nice tracks from the Beatles this morning. Well, John Lennon there on his own with Imagine. Before that, earlier on, we played yesterday, didn't we? Which was a lead vocal by Paul McCartney of all the Beatles. Let's say a very good morning to Mary Lou. She's been with us since first thing this morning, as she does. And she says a good day to everybody and asked if we could play... Well, remember the days of the old schoolyard? That's a Cat Stevens song.
Remember the days of the old schoolyard? We used to laugh a lot. Oh, don't you remember the days of the old schoolyard? When we had Imaginings, and we had all kinds of things, and we left and needed love. Yes, I do. Oh, and I remember you. Remember the days of the old schoolyard? We used to cry a lot. Oh, don't you remember the days of the old schoolyard? When we had simplicity, and we had warm toast for tea, and we left and needed love. Yes, I do. Oh, and I remember you.
Yeah.
There we go, Rolling Stones and Brown Sugar. Mary Lou's just dropped me a little note from Mick Jagger. He says, I'm sorry that we've had to postpone the Amsterdam show with such short notice that tonight I have unfortunately just tested positive for COVID. We aim to reschedule the date ASAP and get back as soon as we can. Thank you all for your patience and understanding. From Mick. There you go. It's amazing, really. It's only from COVID, isn't it? When you consider their age, they're absolutely incredible. Seasman says, I'll have what they're having.
Hello, it's me, your ex. I called to say not sorry, but I wish you the best. And I don't hold no grudges, promise this ain't a test. We okay? We okay? Sometimes it works out, but sometimes it don't. Maybe we'll fix this, or maybe we won't. Sometimes a heart can sink like a stone until you find home. This ain't a heartbreak anthem. I don't care what happened, but I ain't got no time to dwell on it. Don't wanna throw a tantrum. You did what you had to. No, I ain't got no time to dwell on it. And I don't wanna feel hollow. Chasing you and me, chasing all of these shadows. This ain't a heartbreak anthem. I don't care what happened, but I ain't got no time to dwell on it.
Galantis, David Guetta there. That was Heartbreak Anthem. And together, of course, Little Mix in there as well. And that's brought us. We're coming up towards the end of this morning's program. We're just half a minute away from 5 minutes before 10 o'clock. So at least I'll finish on time today. Really quite funny yesterday. So I was quite sure that it was only 9 o'clock. I'd have gone on for another hour. That would have put you off. Let me say though, a very big thank you this morning to our special guests. That was Pituca Ortega Heilbron with us today, talking about all the great things happening with regards to Panama and the movie industry. We seem to be getting on the map. So big congratulations to Pituca and everybody else that's shown an interest in the film business here in Panama. Also, of course, a big thanks to Intrepid Outdoor reporter Ingrid this morning for our everyday story of country folk with a leaky roof. And to Yasmin, my producer here in the Breakfast Show studio, and also for Born This Day Music. A couple of great tracks. And the Zombies. I always remember those. Haven't played a couple much of those lately, but there we are. We've got two in a row today. Big thanks to my co-producer, Neil Danby. and the boys and girls at Grupo Grada, who keep us up and running. Of course, Neil gets us a lot of background information on the program as well. So big thanks to them. And as always, to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on 89.3 Cool FM. And hope you've enjoyed the last few hours. And remember, I'll be back with you tomorrow. And by the way, if you feel that if you've got a company, listen, you listen to the show regularly, but we could advertise on The Breakfast Show. You can advertise or sponsor. Well, that's easy. Just give us a call on 223-5162. 223-5162. Or you can always email us on our WhatsApp number. There we go. WhatsApp us on 677-188-22. 677-188-22. And you can always check us out on our website as well. Don't forget that. TheBreakfastShow.com.pa. Right. Well, that's it then. Just please remember, have a great day. Whatever it is you're going to be doing today, do it carefully, because what is important, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And what do we say tomorrow? Oh, we say WTW, don't we? Yes, welcome to Wednesday. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please do it carefully. All right, I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby. The Breakfast Show was brought to you thanks to Imprenta 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.